Welcome to the CEN Show, the platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rosaki Mascani, and this evening we're going to do a Black community news forum. We're going to start off by talking about the P. Diddy trial, which I don't have much information on, but we have people on here who do. Let me introduce the panel this evening. We have, for the first time, Sister Carolyn is on. We have Sister Linda Shorter, Brother Mashinda, Brother Ahi, Ernest McBride Jr., and Professor Amin Ra. So we want to get started with this, the P. Diddy trial, which I just found out during the second day of the trial. And I want to start with Carolyn. Carolyn, you want to give us a little background on the P. Diddy trial that's occurring right now? You're on mute, Carolyn.
I pushed the mic. I couldn't find it again. I apologize.
That's okay. You're fine.
about the trial itself, or, well, P. Diddy has been charged with racketeering, sex trafficking, and this all began with, I want to say, with Cassie filing this lawsuit against him, and it snowballed from there. With what she had put in her paperwork, her lawsuit, other people started coming up. Little Rod, he placed another lawsuit against him, accusing him of the same things that he accused, that Cassie had accused him of short of the physical violence. The racketeering, the sex trafficking, it was also drug trafficking too, if I'm not mistaken. And also for drugging adults with some type of thing they called Tootsie, and them not knowing they were engaging in sex acts. That's a part of the case when it comes to having consensual sex. There's not some non-consensual sex. And with minors also. And what else is it? The federal government has brought a case against him, and the trial just started a couple of days ago. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. Ernest McBride, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, because I've been kind of, from the youth, because like I involved in high school coaching the youth, and you hear them talking about it. And what I got out of it, like a lot of the young stars, because I know the R&B industry was like that. They would get groups and you get exploited, because we had a group and signed up with Aladdin and a couple of other companies, 4 or 5 year contracts. And then they suck you in that if you want to try to get your group going and get noticed and make notoriety and stuff, but you will be exploited, like in the old days. Now the younger generation is a lot smarter, so they don't sign all that stuff and sign their stuff over. But this young lady, being 19, she probably got sucked up into this. And then I think they're probably trying to use her to get at Puff, because of that video that came out at that motel where he, because that was horrendous when you saw that, where he's kicking her and snatching her and trying to drag over the motel. And then one police officer or something is claiming that Puff tried to pay him off not to say anything. So you don't know. It's just going to be a lot of hoopla and stuff. And then I was talking to my daughter, and she said, Puff got exploited himself when he was young to get in that rap industry. So he got hooked up with Hal David. And, Hal David was the one that wrote a lot of stuff with Burt Bacharach for Dionne Warwick. And these were big time guys. And she told me that. So, oh, yeah, a rumor was that's how Puff the way he's doing these people, it was done to him, you know, for him to get in, to get started in the industry. So, you know, a lot of that goes on because, you know, that one guy that got in prison, you know, you heard the rumor about they have the, you get in Hollywood and they got the casting couch and all that, but all that stuff is true. So a lot of people do get exploited and get hooked in that, you know, wanting to be stars and famous. So I don't know. So I just got kind of like Carolyn, I kind of look at the trial, you see, hear news flash every day and kind of see where it's going. But, you know, saying that he's selling drugs and all this stuff is going to be a hard sell, you know, racketeering, because those people was volunteers. Usher himself said, hey, they'll give a party downstairs and then at midnight, the freak off time, and then they go upstairs. Some people, a lot of big celebrities have gone up there because they want to know what's going on. And Usher was saying on TV once, you don't want to go up there. Say, when they get into that, boy, it's time for me to leave, you know. But then they say, claim that Justin Bieber got hooked into that. And then, you know, one rapper that really, you know, didn't like that was 50 Cent, because he was, 50 Cent was saying on TV, just like Puff tried to get him in there and told him, I'm going to take you to Hollywood and buy you some clothes. And say, 50 Cent said, nigga, I don't need you to buy me shit. So I buy my own stuff, you know. So he didn't get involved in that at all. And you talk to him now, and he's death on as far as Puff go. But, you know, so, you know, you figure Puff, probably some of that's true, but I don't know if they can make a lot of that stick, because a lot of the people voluntarily went up there. You know, they didn't force nobody up there, but they did say they would put drugs in people's drinks and all that, and I don't know if they could prove that, so... So it just remains to be seen how it goes, because you know that a lot of guys are, you know, been on trial, gotten away a lot worse than this, and has been able to get off because they had the money and the lawyers and stuff to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that's what you have to kind of look at, because you know, here we got a president, probably the biggest con artist of all time, and then look where he is, you know. So I don't know. So you just, it's America's really, really something. And then this forum here with Conscious Corner kind of keeps me abreast of kind of how the black music is going, because you know, you see this stuff on TV, and my daughter calls me all the time. She's in Paris. Said, Dad, it's totally different over here. You got to leave America and come over here. I said, no, right. No, I'm too old for that, you know, so I'm not doing that, because I'm worked hard and busted my butt here, and I want what's due me, you know, because they owe me, and I'm not going anywhere, giving up nothing. See?
All right. Thanks, Ernest. Professor Rod, you were saying a few interesting things earlier before we started. You want to say a few things that you were saying? I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to say a bounty gun to everybody on the Zoom, all of, you know, everyone, and welcome y'all here.
Thank you.
Let me preface a few things. First of all, when I look at what they're doing with Puff, America, to me, don't have the right to put nobody on trial. They are the most crookedest courts, crookedest prosecutors, and they think the law applies to everybody but them, as individuals. Here you have the Catholic Church paying out billions of dollars for sex abuse of kids.
Yeah.
Then you have the Pittsburgh University scandal with the assistant coach screwing the football players and little kids in the gym. You have a president that has been convicted of sexual abuse and talking about how celebrities have the right to take advantage of women. You know, that's what he said. He said that, you know, you're a celebrity, you just go up there and grab them between the legs. You have so many examples of European. Then Bill Cosby, Puff, and a few other black celebrities got caught up in sex issues. O.J. Simpson, for example, and Michael Jackson. We learned a long time, Ernie. You never let your little head do your thinking for your big head. Is that right?
That's right.
Where did they get these ideas from? Who influenced them that it's okay to have this type of party and have these type of things? It's America. Look what they did to the Native American. Why do you think we got so many different shades of black people? I mean, this is a sexually oriented society. We usually could take our kids to movies. In the early days, even TV, the married people slept in separate beds. Lucy and Desi on there. I mean, they didn't show it. Not even in the soap opera, people naked and screwing. This is a sexual oriented society that encourages sexual abuse. If you don't have a value system that tells you that's not right, even though somebody tell you it's good, your system will tell you it's right. My partner comes to me and says, let's rob this bank. I gotta say no. I say, I don't do that. You understand? When you're young, you can be influenced. But when I was young, I was influenced, you understand, by television, by pimps, hustlers, gamblers on the street. It's easy to get lost. But when you mature and you start going to church or you find cultural apparatus to teach you what's right and wrong or mosque, then you mature and you atone your sins. I'm saying this. It's pathetic that a man like that, Puff Daddy, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, and all the brothers get caught up in something like that. You know, it is pathetic because they got the money, they got the intelligence. Bill Cosby is a college graduate. Puff Daddy. He to know to keep himself clean. What we are naivete is that we think we're not targeted.
Professor Rob, do you have people in the background there? Because we hear background noise.
Okay. They'll stop.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that our value system and our ethics have to take precedent in America. Because if you be an American, you think you can get away with anything. Only thing you're guilty of is getting caught. That's the only thing you're guilty of is getting caught. And so with Puff Daddy, if he's found guilty, hey, of those things. But it's funny that they always get 6 and 7 year old cases on them. Six and 7 year old cases. A prosecutor's job is to get a winner. And they go after a big name. They try to prosecute people like gunslingers used to put notches on their gun. Find them guilty. Look how many people that did 20, 30 years and then found out they were innocent. 20, 30 years. All of their appeals, they lost. I'm just trying to tell you, it was the courts that said separate but equal. To us as black people. It was a court in Dred Scott. It was a court in Brown versus. It's the courts. It's the system. Now, where did Puff get these ideas to have these freak parties? If he had them, Where did sexual abuse and domestic violence came from? You didn't even hear about domestic violence until the 70s. It was okay to beat women. Throughout American history, they beat women. Killed them, burned them in the stake, pimped them, misused them. They talk about the brothers on the street in Anaheim and Long Beach, or Pacific Coast, girls walking the street, pimps and stuff. But white folks got sex, prostitute houses in Vegas. You understand? Prostitute houses. They got call girls, professionals. I want you to understand the context. Now, I'm not condoning what Puff did as far as hitting that woman in the hotel. You understand? But I got to wait till the whole trial ends and see how the attorney try to defend it before I give judgment on it. But at the same time, I know that he's guilty of being white. That's the only thing I find him guilty of. Even if you murder somebody, you learn it from white folks. You understand?
Because like you say, this should have been over with like 7 years ago with this woman, because they did out of court settlement. Puff had to pay her $20 million and they dropped it, you know. So what are you bringing it back here 7 years later for?
Well, police will go, we don't know what they got on her to make her turn on.
Yeah, they did something.
But anyway, I just think we as a people must use this case and other cases to teach our children what not to do, and how problematic it is, and how challenging it is. And so that's my position. But as far as him being punished, what else is he gonna do? He's gonna say she's shaggy. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't me.
But, right.
It's a shame that they're gonna act like they're so concerned about his sexual parties and drugs and things of this nature, when people are dying of fentanyl all over the place. They used to call pharmacies drug stores. The word medical doctor means drug dealer. That's all medical, drugs. And I want you to say, I'm not saying some medicine don't help you, but a lot of it is abuse. It fixes one thing, and the next thing, something else go wrong. That's why they talk about the side effects. when you hear the commercials on drugs, medicine, all these people all on TV, the side effects is worse than the illness you got. You understand? And they say, you can even die from it. What kind of medicine is that?
You better read some labels in there too, because we were just talking about that on my Black Males Dementia group. We meet like twice a month. Yeah. And we were just talking about that medication. Your doctor puts you on something and you're doing good and you're saying, hey, but if you get in there and read those contraindications and harm and stuff, a lot of that medication, they'll tell you only stay on a certain period of time and you got to stop. You know, all this stuff can kill you, like Dr. Ross saying. Most people don't read all that stuff because it's a lot of stuff to take in, but you got to read that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I understand the sisters and so on, because, you know, this is a sexist society. Yeah. And men have been abusing women physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Where did we get it from? You know, in the movie, the woman slapped the guy, and then he grabs her and kisses her, and then she just... You understand? I mean this is crazy stuff, you know? And I'm just telling you, we're in a society that's called democratic insanity. Democratic insanity means if we all vote for it, it's okay. no matter how crazy it is. You know?
Right.
And so I'm just saying, you know, let's wait for the trial. And then we have a discussion again after we see how they treat him in the court and get all his side of the story. We just listen to the prosecutor right now.
Mm-hmm.
They put all this stuff in the news just to get him guilty by public opinion. Let's wait and see. You know, they had to let Bill Cosby go. You understand? From holding back information.
Amen.
Well, also, right. I want to say, too, that they didn't, and I agree with you 100%, because we don't know all sides. I'm a person that has to do a whole 360. I want to see it from every point of view. And the thing is that we don't know what they're really after. I think it's just to bring him down as a Black man, you know? There's also the other case going on with Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay. You know, that just surfaced. As soon as he hits the top, all of a sudden they dropped him back down again. To add to when you were mentioning Michael Jackson and everyone else, we have to add Shannon Sharp to that also. You know, the Super Bowl champion, you know, Hall of Famer, co-host, you know, from ESPN, who now has his own personal show. He's off the air. Quick, they did it because of behind sex acts.
Yeah, and that's my point, sister. These guys should have been married, raising kids, and helping other kids, sponsoring football and basketball, or open up a studio with a search for talent instead of just, you know, walking around like they're a jewelry store with all them chains around their neck, they might as well still be enslaved. Hell, they got so many chains on them. I mean, it don't even make sense. You know, and they get this from America. You know, class and all that. Man, just live a ethical and principled life. We need role models outside of what we're getting in public school. We need it in the home. We need the value system. I mean, we all got caught up in it when we were young, but as we mature, we change. And we become, teach our kids, don't do what I did when I was young. Because, hey, I got away with it. You may not be lucky to me. You understand? And now I'm a better person. And, you know, you recognize that what you did was wrong. You don't just say, I got away with it, and it's okay. But Puff Daddy, I want to see the end of the trial and get all the evidence as much as I can. Listen to his witnesses. And he may expose other people. You never know. And let's see what's happening. He may expose Duke Davis. He may expose Burt Bacharach. He may expose them white people. They expose them. That's all I got to say, Roger.
All right. Let's go to Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda, you keeping up with the trial so far?
You know, I'm like somebody said, you know, I get my news flashes, particularly, you know, growing up in this generation, you know, P. Diddy, you know, the whole Bad Boy crew, you know, those kind of things. I'm at a point in my life where I was exposed to, you know, their music coming up and some of the artists under the label. So yeah, it's interesting to say the least in terms of, you know, watching this whole thing play out. You know, it has many facets to this whole story. You know, you have the European. He's at his best when it comes to, you know, like it's been said tonight, I'm in agreement that, and, you know, based on my own personal experiences in terms of, you know, professionally working in certain areas to where I know certain things that go down and just being a citizen of where I grew up or, you know, it being in America, you know, we all have witnessed, you know, some of the the fallout, the negativity, so the European is, she's, Sister Sheikha is right, in terms of when you flex, when you start flexing, you're going to become under attack because, under the slave system, there's a master and there's a slave. And once you become that rebellious slave, once you start speaking up and trying to control your own, hey, I got the finances, I'm worth almost $1 billion, I'm this and I'm that. You step on certain toes, you don't invite certain people to the party, they label you cocky and arrogant and all these different names, instead of somebody just being confident in what they do. But so they believe that the black male in particular, he should know his place. If he don't know his place, we're gonna show him his place. But all the mental illness and the dysfunction that surrounds the story, that's permeates throughout society, like Professor Rossi, this has been going on forever. And so when you're growing up in America, you're subject to pick up some of those habits if you allow yourself, or if you walk into it, you walk in that door, no telling what's going to happen. So it starts in the home. But at the same time, what's going on in the home? You know, we grow up in our home, so we latchkey kids. I used to let myself in, that kind of thing. So, maybe, like I say, just, maybe sure, luck or what my turn to get took out in the possibilities of what could happen when you're not supervised at certain times, But anyway, so this is just, if you look at P. Diddy as just a person, I don't know his upbringing other than the music stuff that we know about, but obviously, there was something that went wrong when he was young or he could have learned that in the business and got turned out himself and that type of thing. It don't make it right or wrong. It's just a reality. And so here it is. Here I am. And so it's just mental health problems that we have. We have mental health crises all over the place. That he's just a mogul in his industry. And so he gets the radio play. There's media that's making money off of this. That's what it's about. You have private prisons. You can go to, stock market, invest in prisons. They need people in prisons to keep those, to make that money off the stock market. So it's a cycle and it's a system. It's systemic. It's systematic where, so it's multifaceted. So at the end of the day, everybody got their hand out, and there are people that's going to benefit from this trial, the lawyers and all the other people with their hands out, and then they're going to be losers. P. Diddy just trying to spare his life because he realizes, like, man, even if I did this, I tripped out or whatever. I don't know what he's thinking. But the sad thing about it, he has children, and those kids are drugged through this. And there, a lot of them, I guess, are grown. I'm not sure. I know he's got about 4, 5, 6 kids, and I'm not sure of their ages. I know some of them are grown, and some of them may be older teenagers or maybe young 20 years old or whatever. And it's sad that this has a direct effect on them. And the court system, society, they don't care nothing about those kids. Nobody's going to reach out to them and console them. I'm talking about the system. So anyway, it's just a sad situation. Other than that, it's just a reminder. We got to be careful in what we do. And, I hope and pray that the dude, gets some kind of reprieve. I don't wish nobody to go to jail. What is jail going to do for him? If he needs some help, some mental health, some help, get him some help, But the criminal industrial enterprise, they looking for another inmate. They looking to make somebody an example, and to instill fear. So all those other moguls out there, they go into hiding. I think Professor Ross said, hey, if they could use that money to do something good with it, you know. And then some of them, they do. They make investments in certain schools and investments, but really invest, really empower the culture and the community. But, you know, that goes against the grain. That goes. So if we become empowered, then their business ventures go down. They make money off our misery. And so that's being exploited all the time. So anyway, you know, peace to the world. I'm done.
All right. Thanks, Brother Mashenda. Brother Ahi.
Rashi Key, I really don't know too much about this subject. Only like the news flashes that I saw, the way he struck that young lady who looked like she might have been 100 pounds, and he violently assaulted her and kicked her, and he don't get no sympathy from it. I know things are a little different now. Maybe about a decade ago, I was standing on my front porch, and it was just at dusk, and a young man and a young woman were arguing. They were up under a light pole. And that's not anything, you know, unusual. Couples, you know, young couples argue. But I remember she said something and maybe struck him. And he picked her up and body slammed her. Well, she bounced off the pavement and rolled over and got up and said, "I don't want to fight tonight." Is that a microcosm of the modern day relationship between our young brothers and sisters, where the same brothers who were raised by, and I think it's safe to say that we can look at the modern Black family as a woman being ahead of the household, these same young brothers that the women are raising will stand up and strike them like they're another man and got the same physical attributes as they have. And this is not uncommon to see these days. It's, I gasped, because number one, I couldn't believe it. Number two, I couldn't believe her response. I tell you, I almost cried. Now, with this being compared to Bill Cosby, who was a threat, and from what I understand, had plans to purchase NBC, a major network, TV network, back in the day, with the drugs and the bunny house and all the stuff that was happening in, you know, California. You do a few lines and you might take a Valium just to take the edge off. It's the drug culture. Every one of these women that came to get Bill, 30, 40 years after the fact, said that he offered me a pill and I took it. He didn't sit on them and force them to take that pill. He didn't force them to do anything. And anybody knows that if I call you at midnight or 11 at night or 1 in the morning, what is that? That's a booty call, as the jokesters say. So
ain't nothing open after midnight but legs.
that's right. And they got Bill with that. They got him with that. And so his power went. The only similarity between Bill Cosby and Sean Puff Combs, I believe, is their celebrity. So as far as having any sympathy for the brother, and I know about the complex, we all know about it. It's a business. It's a big business. There are more people in jail now than were enslaved at the height of slavery here in America. So we know about the business. But at some point, we got to just take responsibility for our actions, especially against our own women. And you can tell a lot about the people by how they treat their women. And right now, we kind of suffering, at least from what's always being shown on the TVs and whatever else we look at, the YouTubes and the TikTok, we suffer. So I have some understanding of how we're being oppressed and how this is used to keep us down, but at some point we got to have some type of responsibility for our actions, especially when it comes with our women. So that's what I got to say on that.
All right. Thanks, brother. Well, what I could say about all of what you, but the whole panel been talking about is I'm looking at two things, mind control and mental illness. And I agree with, where did we get it from? We get it from the oppressor. So I agree with that. But this is why we're here, giving alternative commentary, because if I'm looking at it, it's we're here to make sense of what's going on, and then having a platform where people could look at what we're doing as a positive alternative. So, Carolyn, do you want to speak any, you want to say anything else? And then I go to Ernest McBride. He had his hand up.
Well, only thing I had to say is, you know, it's like opening Pandora's box when it comes to Diddy. You know, if had not that box been open, this would have been just another day in the neighborhood. He may have realized his shortcomings and what he was doing wrong and got better. We don't know that. But so I believe that box was open behind a move that he may have made that shook Massa's tree and said, let me show you where you at. That's my belief. I feel the same way in reference to all of the Black men, our powerful Black men who have been brought to the limelight. You know, no matter what happened or how it happened, because the truth be told that most of the things in this case currently, these things did happen 5, 6, 10 years ago, you know, 20 years ago. And given that fact, these people have gone on to function the way they can. They may have suffered from mental illness, all kind of things during this time. And since it came to a limelight now, you have all these people come out the woodwork talking about it and magnified. I'm talking about it. But I'm not going to sit here and look at the right hand, not look and see what the left hand is doing. You know, we can nitpick this to death. And for me, I don't pay attention to the obvious. I want to pay attention to what's not in my face. And that's why I say, you know, why did Pandora's box get open? How did it get open? Because this has been going on for years in his life, as they say. You know, I am not a fly on the wall. I wasn't there. You know, I don't know the circumstances behind every situation. And by chance, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, I promise you. And I laying in the bed and I heard the announcement about Cassie. I didn't know who Cassie was. I had no idea, but it was showing her lawsuit. And I started listening to that. And that's the only way I even got involved in it. Usually I turn a channel. But and because of what she accused him of doing, me as a woman, it drew my attention. I don't care what P. Diddy sleeps with, who he sleeps with, how he sleeps with him, because your sexual preference is your business. I could care less, you know? My only thing is why? Why did this, how did this open up? Because I want to see what's happening over here. Why did it even come to our attention? Why are we even talking about this? What did he do that made them nervous? What did he do? Because he's been doing this forever. And in the position that he's in, those people higher ups knew what he was doing. probably helped him cover it up, probably was participating in it also, that he got a SWAT team coming to his house. Come on. So, but that's all I had to say. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, appreciate it. Appreciate it. That's right, Ernest had to leave. Okay, any last words, Professor Ra?
Yeah, just a minute. Let me just say this. We can't condone the charges against what they charged him with. But we can wait and see if he's found guilty of it. And even if he's found innocent, don't mean he didn't do something like that in this court. All I'm saying is that, you know, we as a people have to understand that. Why did he think he could get away with it? Who introduced this to him? You know, he wasn't born doing this. Like the sister said, you know, you're up in that fast life. There's all kind of stuff going on in fast life. And even Shannon Sharp, you know, what are you doing, man? You're 6'7", 6'8", doing something. How are you doing, talking about choking a woman on the phone, talking crazy, nasty on the phone? You know, I mean, sometimes you get to the point where you think you're invincible, like the white man thinks he's invincible. And you think you can get away with anything because you got money and because you control people's lives and things of that nature. And so it's a challenge when you get up there. I mean, look what happened to Big. You know, I mean, you know, he's a 26-year-old assassinated. Tupac, 24, 25, he got popped. I mean, these type of murders, these type of lives that they live, going to all these big-time parties, you know, we watch them on TV at the BET Awards, half of them half naked, half dressed. You know, we used to have class, the Dionne Warwick, Ella Fitzgerald, and your voice was your music, Minnie Riperton, your voice was your entertainment, your style of song. Now, everybody want to be like Beyonce, but they can't sing. And they don't have the multi-million dollars of behind them. And you know, they dressing like her. They had one girl up there at the show, that's called Flash. She comes up there in a damn near bikini for an award show. I mean, they're going to get plastic surgery. I mean, it's a different life out there. And you know, some of the things these people do for fame, but getting back to Puff Daddy, I just think that, you know, he should have been more involved in his consciousness as a black man and realize that he's vulnerable and that all black men are targets, not just him. That's why the prisons are filled. They ain't filled with just Puff Daddy. They're filled with everyday brothers and sisters and Latinos. You understand? It's a prison. You have to be able to read the signs of the time. And evidently, they get to the point that they're so into their celebrity status and white folks are introducing them to new drugs and new lifestyle, and they take on that disease, and then they get caught, and then the man gonna throw the book at them. He's gonna throw the book. Look how many charges. They haven't even gotten to racketeering in the trial. All they got to is domestic violence so far and sex orgy. Where is the racketeering? Where is the drug trafficking? You know, I mean, I'm waiting to see all the evidence. And then I can make a better decision. Not on what they say he did. I'm going to go on what they proved he did. You understand? And if he did all these bad things, he should be punished. But I don't think you should go to prison for life. They finna let two white boys off who double murder. They killed their mama and dad. And they're talking about, well, they changed. Well, how many black people can ask for a retrial or resentencing? And, I mean, they've done good behavior. Trustees in the prison.
Oh, my bad.
Never got no trouble in the prison. And they can't go up there and say, can I have a resentencing after 15, 20 years? So I'm just saying that it's just a complicated situation. But I'm just hoping that this brother learn his lesson and be a better person, whether he's found guilty or innocent. Don't get caught up in things that they can use against you. You know, think before you act. Put some type of cultural apparatus and value and rely on that. Ethics and morals. Ethics and morals to deal with that. That's all, Russell.
All right. So we're going to call it a night. Professor Ra, who we got on Tuesday?
Oh, we got Dr. Marie Allen. Dr. Allen, she's a professor out of Colorado, and she's going to talk about Black youth education and the unequal suspension and expulsion of Black kids and brown kids. And she runs one of the biggest nonprofits in Colorado. And she's a very strong sister. Came from South Central, graduated from Cal State Long Beach, and went on to get a PhD, living in Colorado now. All right.
Okay, so next week on Wednesday, we have Jason Lisby coming on, one of the members of the Shield of Valor that have been on twice so far. He'll be back on Wednesday. I want to thank everybody for coming this evening. Thank you, Carolyn, for helping us come up with this topic this evening. And hopefully we'll see you very soon with us. All right, we're going to take our pause. So we're going to take our pause. Each one teach one, conscious corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.